believe that's your testimony this morning. You're not going to let go of his hand. Amen. Amen. Encourage your neighbor a moment. Say, neighbor, don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go of God's unchanging hand. Thank you, Eula. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God, saints. God is good. We praise you, Lord. You're so good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. Amen. At this time, if we have any little nursery people, we do have nursery at this time. Our young people will remain since it's Communion Sunday. All right, you will have a sermon note sheet in your bulletin. Can you all find that? We are starting a brand new series today. All right. And after you find that, what is the title of our series? Why Care About People? Amen. Why Care About People? So today we're launching off with our first topic under that theme. Why care about people? Because God calls us. Amen. And then next Sunday we will work. And why care about God, about people? Because we can choose. We can choose to care. And then we move on into why care about people? Because time is limited. And then we wrap it up with why care about people? Will we go? All right. So we are really exciting as we're going into this Easter season about sharing the good news. We want everybody to know about Jesus. Amen. Amen. But before we begin, let us pray. Praise your name, Lord God. We say thank you. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you as our Lord and Savior. We have the joy of holding your hand. And Lord, we have the joy of being surrounded by your love. And Lord, we just give you praise for that privilege. And Lord, we do desire to be used by you to go forth and to share with others so that they too may find life and hope and help, oh God. And we thank you for the salvation that we find in you, Lord, and for the abundant life that we have, not only for all of eternity, but for right now, Lord God. And so right now, we, your people, are listening. And so we say, speak, Lord God. Call to us as we hear the preaching of your holy word. And Lord, may we be not just hearers today, but Lord, transform doers. That we're going to go forth from this place and you're going to be glorified and we're going to be vessels that you mightily work through. And so we thank you ahead of time for the joy and privilege that it is. And it's in Jesus' mighty name, all God's people join to say, amen and amen. Why care about people? Because God calls us. Amen. Because God calls us. All right, most of us have seen the commercial on TV done by Verizon Wireless. Amen. Now, it's the one where that guy, he has this pad, and he walks around to various places where a phone normally would not work. Amen. And he keeps going farther and farther away from the main connection, and he keeps asking the question, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And so the commercial is trying to make a point about how well and good the reception is for Verizon phone service. No matter where you are, no matter how far away, Verizon service is still available and usable. You're never out of range. Now, I can personally attest to this great reception by Verizon, because some 10 years ago, some of us ladies here at Glenville, we went on a women's retreat with the women of Medina Presbyterian Church. And the retreat was way, way out in the boonies. We had went past Chesterland. And when we got there, only the women with Verizon phones had service. None of the rest of us did. So we spent the next 2 days going up to women with Verizon phones. Can I borrow your phone just for 1 minute, just so I can call home for a minute? And so after that, you know, I am a Revel girl myself. Me and Revel get along very well. But you know what? I have to give Verizon their props. Because that's happened again, that Verizon be the only one when we're somewhere out in the boonies. All right, can you hear me now? Uh-huh, well, we was using them phones then. Amen. But sometimes, saints, we as Christians, we get to the point where we can't hear God. All right? We still a part of God's family, but we've lost our connection. Now, this can be caused by something we've done, something that we are doing, or something that we have omitted to do. And without us listening to God, we have a problem understanding what God has to say. And time again, God is sending the message, Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You see, hearing God's voice ever more clearly is one of the reasons why we are experiencing this Daniel fast together for these few weeks, all right? We want to hear the voice of God more clearly. We want to focus on God. We want to have breakthroughs in our lives, amen, miracles. We want to pay attention. All right, so we want to focus on the things that God says are important, amen. And it is beneficial for us to pay attention, praise God. Now, when God speaks, we ought to listen, amen. So just encourage your neighbor, when God speaks, listen. And not only listen, but obey. How many can you remember when your mother would call you and you would hear her voice and respond to it? And when she called you and she used your entire name, she put the middle name into it. Okay, all right. So like Evelyn Olivia, all right, amen. Or Gloria Jean, amen. Now, unfortunately, I know their middle name, so they have to get, so everybody knows now. But when you heard that full name, you know you had better listen, amen. And let the same situation happen when your dad was speaking, and dad would speak with that authority, and no doubt when you heard that, you had better respond, and it better be the correct response, amen. I remember my only spanking from my dad. Susan and I were about 6 and 7, and we were having a great time riding our bikes in our basement. We would ride them in these circles. We had this big basement. And we got this wonderful idea to go and crash into the wall and just fall on the floor and start laughing. So we would be going around, you ready? And we just crash into the wall, and we would fall right on the floor. Amen. And so after we did that a couple of times, our dad came down the steps. He says, listen, girls, just keep on crashing those bikes in the wall. You hear? Just keep on crashing those bikes in the wall. And so I said, well, Susan, he said, keep on doing it. Woo! And don't you know, we went around and we went and we crashed in that wall one more time and fell out laughing. But, oh, my goodness, let me let you know, when you do not respond the way Dad thinks that you should respond, there is an unwanted result. He came down those steps, amen, I tell you, woo, and we heard that message loud and clear, and that was the last time he ever had to come down those steps, ever. You know, too many times we get the feeling with God like we do with our mothers and dads. We hear the voice, we hear, and we say, yes, God, but I know you'll forgive me this time, or, oh, yes, God, I'll do it later, you know, whatever you're asking. But saints, when God speaks, it is with an authority from the throne of heaven, saints, that carries more power than mom or dad. Hallelujah. It is with that same authority of the voice that spoke and the worlds came into being. That's the authority. It's that same authority that spoke from that burning bush, amen, and told Moses to take off his sandal because he was standing on holy ground. It's that authority when he told that man to come out of the tomb and the man came out, amen. It's with that same authority that God calls into our lives today, saints. God calls into our lives with words of compassion. Thank you, Lord. Words of direction, words of guidance, words of correction, amen. Words of understanding, because God loves us, amen. And yet there are those of us who, when we hear God's call, we respond as if we didn't hear God's call. And I want us today to just look at Jonah. Jonah was to go and to preach to Nineveh, but he went to Tarshish to flee the presence of the Lord. Jonah was like a little kid. You ever see put their fingers in their ears? I'm not listening. I can't hear you. No, God, I can't hear you. But saints, like Jonah, many of us, we don't want to be bothered with what God has to say to us. Our lives are comfortable. We like them just how it's going, you know, and hearing from God could cause us to have to do some changing or some moving, all right? It may cause us to move from apathy about the things of God to caring about the things of God. So I'm talking about today moving from apathy in our prayer lives. How many desire that today? To move from apathy in your prayer life to caring about your prayer life. And that's a part of what this Daniel fast is all about. I couldn't believe it. Yesterday I was going through some of the trash cans. I went through a trash can and I saw all these prayer cards. The prayer cards were in the trash and back there too. And I'm like, how could we not take the prayer cards home? Put them on the refrigerator, put them in our office, put them in the bathroom, put them in our car. The prayer warriors have made them available, and all we have to do is each day go through the prayer list, maybe do a little section at a time. But I see where some of us, we need to move from apathy about prayer life, amen. We need to move from apathy about the lost to caring about the lost. Many of us, we don't want to hear from God because we don't want to move. But saints, God is speaking. God is speaking today, and God is saying to each of us, can you hear me now? Hallelujah. And as individuals and as a church, God is telling us which way to go and how to do it. God calls you, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? God says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. Can you hear me now? Saints, whatever it is that you are doing that prevents you from hearing God, you need to make a change. God says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Some of us need to sit down and be still. Amen. That's a spiritual discipline. Be still so God can say, can you hear me now? Now, hopefully and prayerfully, we are doing that in a deeper way this Lenten season, in a deeper way as we experience this Daniel fast. Now, when the storms of life are raging, how many have ever been in a storm in your life? God is saying to you, can you hear me now? I'm here. Can you hear me now? And you know, when we're going through life and we're down to our last dime, we done went in the closet and we done went in every coat pocket. We down to our last dime. God is saying, amen, yes. Can you hear me now? You see, Jonah was a prophet of the Most High God. And it was his job to listen to the word of God and then communicate it to the people. Now, I want to give us a quick little geography lesson. Nineveh is in what is now northern Iraq. And it's basically on the edge of the then known world. And Nineveh was the capital of the city Assyria. And saints, Assyria was a very powerful nation. It was a very significant nation. And Assyria was Israel's enemy. And Nineveh was the capital city. Now you can jot this down on your notes. Later on you could look at Nahum chapter 3. And this book is a prophecy against Nineveh in there. Chapter 3 describes the brutality of the Assyrians. The Assyrians, they were such a cruel and brutal and heartless people. And the books, the records, they just show how they would just torture people, and then they would chop their heads off, and then they would wear their skulls around their neck as a necklace. And, oh, they just would remove heads and prop them up on sticks and just have people's bodies around their neck. They were just so brutal. It was not a friendly nation. It was not like exactly on the top 10 holiday destinations of the day. You know, people didn't really want to go there. In fact, this is the nation that eventually invades and destroys Israel in 1722 BC. You can find that in 2 Kings chapter 17. And it's to this group, saints, to this great enemy, this enemy city that God calls Jonah to go. And instead, Jonah runs the other way, amen, to get away from God. Has anybody ever done that? Are you willing to confess that you know God told you to do something and you did the opposite? You went the other way. Yes, yes, we have. You know God is calling, and God is calling you to do a specific thing, but out of fear, out of rebellion, you run the exact opposite direction. Now, saints, the call on your life might not be to a dangerous place as Nineveh, but the call is the same. It may be a call to change your behavior. Have you ever received a call like that? But instead, you do everything to avoid the topic. It might be a call to make more public your faith, but instead, you keep taking your light and hiding it under a bushel. You're not shining brightly for Jesus Christ as he is calling you. Maybe it's a call to be more bold, more Holy Ghost bold in sharing and reaching others for Jesus Christ. Now, saints, what Jonah forgets is that we can't run from God. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, we can't run from God. You just, no matter what, we can't run from God. But Jonah tries to run. But guess what? He can't hide. Because God won't let him go, saints. And this is a good thing. God won't let us go. Because the worst place to be in our lives is outside the will of God. You don't want to be outside of the will of God for your life. The best place to live life is inside the will of God. Now, Jonah, he was called by God to go and to preach to the people of Nineveh that were going. God was going to destroy that city. God just said, this is a wicked city. I'm going to destroy it. Nineveh is wicked. It's powerful. And so Jonah, he was afraid, and I don't know what all emotions he had, but he, instead of taking the next camel train to Nineveh, he jumps on a ship and he heads for Tarshish, amen, which is the exact opposite of the end of the known world at that time. Jonah is just running from God, y'all, but Jonah, oh, I tell you, you can't run from God, you can't hide. Oh, God sends this huge storm, amen. And it's such a storm that the ship is about to break up. And so the sailors, they figure out this Jonah is the problem. Hey, y'all, this guy, Jonah, is the problem. And they ask him, well, what should we do? Because they didn't just want to take, they were really good guys, because they just didn't want to take him and throw him out the boat into the raging sea. They didn't want to do that. But, you know, the storm eventually stops as Jonah confesses, and then they go ahead and they throw him overboard. But God doesn't let him drown. Thank you, Lord, for not letting us drown, even in our very bad decisions. Thank you. But he sends this fish to come and swallow him. And Jonah is in that belly of that fish for 3 days and 3 nights, Scripture says. And while he is there, he prays. How many know you got to pray? You got to pray, you got to pray to make it. Amen. He prays, he hears God's voice, he listens, and then he admits that he was wrong. And so then the fish spits him up on dry land where God calls and says, can you hear me now, Jonah? Can you hear me now? And this time he obeys and he goes and he preaches to the Ninevites. Now it would have taken about 3 days to cover the city. On the first day, Jonah begins his task and prophesies God's message to the people of Nineveh. Now, Jonah may have said more, but all that we are told in Scripture that was 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. It will be destroyed. He said this in one day. This is the first day. And the Ninevites, they demonstrate the greatest example of corporate regret that we find in the whole Bible. Immediately, they declare a fast. They remove all their fancy clothing. They sit in the dust. They go about mourning. They start fasting. And this fast regret, it's just awesome. It's like they were convicted and they were in regret. And they were just saying, Lord, we are wrong. We are wrong. Even the king, Scripture says, when he hears the news of their impending doom, He gets off his throne, removes his royal clothes, puts on a sackcloth, and sits down in the dust. This is the king. He sets a royal decree. Everybody is to fast, and everybody is to wear rags. He extends the fast not just to the people, but to the animals as well. Oh, they got serious. Nineveh goes from this powerful, arrogant, wicked city to becoming a city of massive mourning. They actually turn from their wickedness and begin to do what is right. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. These people were so evil that God saw the need to wipe them from the face of the earth, because that's what God, Jonah told him, God is fixing to just annihilate you all off this earth. But they repented, they showed remorse, they stopped their evil ways, and they began to do right. Hallelujah. God has mercy upon us. Thank you, Lord. And God had mercy upon them and changed God's plans. Thank you, Lord. And when God had mercy and changed God's plans, Jonah became furious. Oh, he was so upset. And here he is, wrong again. He's wrong again. Jonah doesn't get God's heart at all. He don't get it. He knows it theologically, but he doesn't know it. He doesn't get it. You know, forgiving is what God does best. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that forgiving is what God does best? Oh, Jonah knows that, and he hates that. He knew it. He said, I knew you were going to be gracious. He was so angry. I knew you were going to be gracious. I knew you were going to be compassionate. You who are slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Oh, Jonah does not see this as a good point. He was not glad that they repented, because he felt these people needed judgment. Oh, they needed. The truth is, they did deserve judgment, saints. But Jonah is saying this as if he himself was somebody who didn't deserve judgment. The truth is, amen, that he too is extremely blessed by God's forgiveness and gracious compassion, amen. He's blessed by God being slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Jonah is a prophet who knows very well the word of God. He proclaims the righteousness of God to the nation, and yet he spends all of chapter 1 running from God in disobedience. Jonah has been forgiven. God forgave Jonah for his intentional disobedience. But he can't handle God forgiving the people of Nineveh. The Ninevites might be deserving of this mercy, but no more than Jonah. God gave him mercy too. But Jonah doesn't get God's heart. Now, saints, in our New Testament text that Shannon read for us in Luke 15, there are three parables. She read two of them for us this morning. The first one was a shepherd with 100 sheep and loses one. He left the 99 to go find that one. And he brings it back and has a party, amen, with his fellow shepherds to celebrate. Because as Jesus said, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And then the second story in Luke 15 is a woman who loses a coin. She searches the whole house until she has found it. When she does, she calls her neighbors, come on over here, and everybody rejoice with me, for what was lost has been found. Hallelujah. And then Jesus, he says, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. And then the third story in Luke 15, a man has two sons. One rebels, asks for his inheritance, and leaves to spend it on loose wild living. And finally, the money runs out. He returns to the father in repentance. The father's been waiting for him. He forgives him, and he receives him. He gives him clothes, shoes, a ring. He says, let's have a party, because this son of mine who was dead is now alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. But the older son who stayed behind, he didn't come to the party. He said, I ain't coming to the party. He was angry. And then his father came and said, please, son, come to your younger brother's party. His father said, look, you and I are close. Everything that I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, and now he's found. If there is great rejoicing among the angels of God over the repentance of one sinner, can you imagine, saints, the party that was going on the day the Ninevites repented. You talking about a party? There was a party going on. There was a party going on. But Jonah didn't want no parts of the party. He missed the point totally, saints. Jonah is ready to die, he said. He is so angry over the destruction of this vine in the desert because God had given him a vine to be able to cool under, and then it died. He got so upset, but he feels nothing for the whole city of Nineveh. He felt nothing for people made in God's image. Saints, God's concern is greater than our concern. Greater than our concern. There are people here, some of us are dealing with some great issues, huge issues in our life today. But there are others today who we rate our day as to whether or not we got a good parking space when we went somewhere. And we tell God what we're concerned about. And God says, well, okay, I want you to come to me. Really? But do you really want to know what I'm concerned about? Do you want to know my heart? Saints, there are thousands in our city of Cleveland and vicinity who do not know God. Thousands. There are millions of people who are facing a Christless eternity. And God comes to us, says, can you hear me now? Should I be concerned about Cleveland and vicinity? Can you hear me now? There may be days, saints, when we're deeply concerned and we're just complaining about our own comfort level. And God comes to us and says, well, do you know what's concerning me? Do you want to know? So today, I want to challenge us today, each of us, all of us, ask God to show you your heart. Just ask God to show you your heart. I want you to ask God, just show me my Ninevites. Show me those that I really am not that concerned about, you know. Just show me. Show me. And then ask God to give you God's heart. I want us to do that, saints. Inform yourself of God's concern, amen. And then get involved, hallelujah. Because God calls us. Oh, some of us, we feel, well, I shared the gospel. I told them about Jesus. And if they don't listen, well, then they can just go on hell then. They can just go on hell. But that's not God's heart. Now, the first thing needed for the reaching of the lost is compassion. Everybody say compassion. Amen. Compassion! Jesus had an attitude that lost people were attracted to. He wasn't acting all snooty and all kind of attitude problems that we have. For us as individuals and as a church, saints, to reach people, we're going to have to show the same love and the same acceptance and compassion for people that Jesus had. Amen? Amen. Now, when it comes to reaching the lost and the hurting, we're going to be in one of three groups. The first group is a group that will be uninvolved and we'll just let others do the work. Okay, yeah, they're going out canvassing today. Oh, yeah, I'll just let them go. I'll just stay home. I might think about them for a minute or something. That's those who choose to be uninvolved. Or we will condemn people for their foolish behavior. We'll say, it's your own fault. You got in this mess. You know, you should have been going to church, and that's why you got in this mess. If you had been going to church, this would have never happened. Ooh, wait, but that's another group, amen. Or we can be in the group who will be concentrating on helping people, loving people, and just helping the lost and helping those who are hurting. And I hope we will choose to show compassion, amen, like Jesus did. So the first thing we need is compassion. Say that one more time, compassion. Compassion for the lost. And not just looking at people and say, whoo, what's wrong with them? This world is, you know, and just condemning. We need compassion so that we can move on to help make a difference in their lives. So the second thing needed for reaching the lost is effort. Everybody say effort. Effort. How do we practice this principle? What do you and I need to do in order to be following Jesus' instructions to reach the lost, to give effort? Well, saints, there are several things we can do. First, a significant part of our prayer life should be for the lost. Amen. And if you look at your prayer card that the prayer warriors prepared for us, it's number 3 on that prayer card. And it's number 3 on our Lenten list, that we are to pray for the lost. Pray for those who do not yet know Jesus Christ. Amen. Pray that many will come to know the Lord. And second, what we can do, making effort means being a significant part of the ministries of Glenville New Life Community Church. Being a significant part that are directed to reaching the lost. All of us, everybody say all of us. All of us should take part in some way in the canvassing of our community when we go out Saturday, March 31st, and when we go out Saturday, April 7th, in some way. Maybe you'll be here at the church praying. Maybe you'll be serving water. Maybe whatever it takes in some way. In some way, all of us, say all of us should be a part of Community Day here on April the 7th. All of us. And that's going to be from 1 to 4 out in our lawn. Some of us are going to go out earlier. We're going to canvass the neighborhood. We're going to send them to the community day. We're going to invite them. All of us need to be a part of it. I want you to say to your neighbor, be there or be square.
Be there or be square.
Amen. Be there or be square. Hallelujah. Now, many of us should be coming to the evangelism training. That's this Thursday. That's this Thursday the 15th here at 6:30 at the church. Come on now, let's get jiggy with it. Hallelujah. Woo! Let's learn how to share our faith. Amen. There's a world out there that needs Jesus, praise God. And there's also another thing necessary for reaching the lost, and it's found in all three of these parables. The third thing to reach the lost is persistence. Everybody say that. Persistence. You know, it isn't easy to reach people's hearts. It is not. So they would receive you. It ain't easy. Tell your neighbor, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. And it's usually not the case that our first efforts are met with, oh, success. Oh, no. It takes time after time of planning and watering and planning and watering and planning and watering and God giving the increase. But we have to just keep on persisting on with God's assistance. Sometimes it takes years and years of persistence. Amen. But we can't get discouraged or give up, saints. We can't give up. If a sheep or a coin was valuable enough to persistently search for, then people who are spiritually lost are too valuable to give up on too as well. Amen. Amen. We all got family members we've been praying for, and we've been inviting them. Let's keep on. Keep on planting. Keep on watering. God is going to give the increase. Amen. Now, last week, I don't know how many saw this on the news, but there on Wednesday night news, there was a family whose home was totally demolished during last week's devastating storm. One man and his family survived. His wife and kids were in the hospital. But he was a little banged up, but he didn't have to be admitted. And so he went back to the house. He was just so grateful that they survived. Their house was in total rubble. And the cameras were showing him. He kept going through all of that rubble looking for something. And he says, I got to find it. It's in this rubble. I got to find it. And finally, he found it. He called his wife in the hospital, who started to cry. And what he found was the engagement ring that he had given her 10 years earlier. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And it was beautiful to see that he didn't quit. He was getting splinters in his hands. He was just going through all that terrible, terrible mess. But he persisted. Because what he wanted, he didn't want it to stay lost. It was too valuable. And even the news was just saying, wow, that was just awesome. That was just awesome. Praise God. And saints are spiritually lost. They are too valuable for us to quit trying to reach. We just can't say, well, then go on to hell. Go on and keep doing what you're doing. We can't give up, saints. So just tell your neighbor, persist on, neighbor. Persist on, neighbor. Persist on with God's assistance. Amen. I know sometimes Pookie Nim can really get on your nerves. But you just got to hang in there. You got to persist on. Don't give up. Because God didn't give up on us, so we can't give up on others as well. Amen. Jesus pointed out that one thing matters most to God, and that is the lost. Thank you, Lord God. The lost matter so much to God that when the lost are found, even one of them is found, all of heaven rejoices, all of heaven throws a party. And we know ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, and a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Woo! Amen. Thank you, band. Thank you, band. Woo! There is more joy over one sinner coming to Jesus than over 99 people being right where they're supposed to be with God. That lost means so much to God. So if the lost matter this much to God, saints, shouldn't they matter this much to us? Amen. Shouldn't we too be willing to give everything needed, to be everything needed in order to reach the lost? God is calling us, saints. God is calling. God is saying, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? So what is your answer? What is our answer? And I pray that our answer today is, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes. Give me a passion. Give me a love for the lost. Lord, for lost people. Make it so, Lord God. Oh, help me to do the work for you, oh God. It's not easy, but God calls us to it. Now, saints, I want you to take out that card we were talking about. I've heard people, when they've been sharing about their faith, and they say, well, sharing the gospel is not my spiritual gift. I don't have the gift of evangelism. That is an excuse, because God calls us all to do evangelism. Amen. And basically, it's talking about a relationship with Christ, because Christ says it's a command for all of us to go out into the world and to make disciples, to preach the word in season and out. Amen. So basically, we're really talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is a blessing. Scripture says, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. Hallelujah. So if you want to be passionate about the lost, amen, you got to meet them at their spiritual level. And some of them are at some real low levels, and you got a lot of work to do to help them to grow. Amen. But get out of your comfort zone. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, get out of your comfort zone. We got to get out of our comfort zone. We got to step out of ourselves. We've got to become vulnerable. Amen. For the glory of God and for the salvation of the lost. Amen. Now, before we come up with our cards, I want to just mention one more, and that is patience. Often we're not patient with people, amen, but God is patient. God is patient with us, praise God. And so they may have hit rock bottom. They may be doing this, doing that, but be patient. Be patient. God is patient. Wait for your loved one. Don't give up on Uncle Billy. Don't give up on Cousin Susie. Don't give up on Grandma. Don't give up on little Dougie. Don't give up, amen. Be patient. All right, would you just encourage your neighbor, be patient. Don't give up. Don't give up. All right, be patient. And I just wanted to end with that. Let us persist on and let us be patient. I know there is hope. Where there is life, there's hope, Scripture says. And I know today I'm glad Jesus found me, because I was lost and Jesus found me. Are you glad Jesus found you? I know I'm glad. Amen. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to ask that you would rise to your feet, and we're going to bring our cards forward and just lay them on the altar here, please. And you keep the green card hanging on your refrigerator or wherever, just as a reminder. But we as a church are going to pray for the names that you have put down there. We want you to pray, and we want you to invite the people that you have put down on this list and pray for them. And we're going to see what God is going to do in their lives. Amen. Why care about people? Because God calls us. Amen and amen.